Joined now in the studio by Susan Brown, director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, one of my favorite people in town. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Good to be here.
I haven't talked to you since before Banned Book Week started. So how did that go? I have to tell you that I'm teaching a class at Durham Tech, Intro to American Government, and there's one guy, completely unsolicited. We started talking about Banned Book Week, and he said that he had been going to the Chapel Hill Public Library and picking up the trading cards every day. And I said, I have a set for you if you want.
We love that guy. Banned Book Week was great. The cards are still available. I think through today we were giving the last sets away for free, and then after that they will be for sale through our friends group. And we're excited. Just before this, I was working out the details at Festival on Sunday.
Yes,
we're
going to
have a library booth, but also a Banned Books trading card booth with all the cards there. We only have about, I think, 75 of last year's sets, so we're going to sell those, and then some of the artists will be in the booth too.
Awesome. So what's the if you can tell without any major spoilers, what do you have planned for Festival?
Well, we're not bringing the 80-foot digital bookmobile or whatever it was last year.
Yeah.
This year's big thing is the Banned Books trading cards booth.
Right.
At the other library booth, they'll be talking to people about the library issuing cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have any cool swag. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's probably some cool swag. Look, trading cards are cool swag.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Awesome. So before we planned this a couple of weeks ago that we wanted to have you come in every week and challenge each other to give each other a literary challenge or talk up a book based on a theme. And we're going to do that in just a minute.
Only one book?
I have
brought
three.
Like 12.
No, I have three.
Okay.
So if you have 12, that's still a lot. But we're talking about first efforts this week because this is our first time doing this. So what better way to start? Before we get there, anything else exciting going on at the library that people should know about?
Lots of stuff going on. actually, starting next week, the full press will go out about this today or tomorrow. We have a whole series of programs coming up in October and November about the civil rights era in Chapel Hill. Next Thursday, Jim Wallace, who was a Daily Tar Heel reporter during that era and has a fabulous book called It Just Left Me. It Just Left Me.
Which actually would be a good title if that were
right,
the case. But.
Right. But he's coming to kick off the series and talk about the book, and we'll have some of the images on loan from the Marion Jackson Center.
Yes.
It's been a long day. but there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up about civil rights, so we can talk about that next week when I'm
awesome.
On, too.
Awesome. Will do. So, okay. So without any further ado,
let's talk books.
So this is the first time that we're getting together to talk about our favorite books or give each other challenges or just sort of get the word out about books that we think that people really, really should read. And since this is our first effort doing this, today's topic is first effort. So first books, first plays, first poems, first whatever.
Who's going first?
Ooh, well, you asked, so you do.
Oh.
House rules.
Okay, there we go. Making up some rules as we go along. So, as I said, I brought a bunch. But so the first book that came to mind under first efforts is everybody right now is talking about Gone Girl, right?
Yes, yep.
The movie's coming out.
The movie's coming
out. It looks
really
good. Everybody read the book. If you haven't read the book, I'm
not
going to
read the book.
Then I can't tell you anything about it.
No, you can't. Well, I know
massive
a little bit
spoilers.
About it from the, I saw the trailer, so I know a little bit, but that's it.
And what I just learned is I think in the movie they don't change the ending. That was a big question going into that.
Every single time they adapt a novel,
well,
it's always,
the
are they going to change
book is really
the ending?
Important.
Right, of course.
Really important.
Yeah.
So everybody's talking about that that book and that movie. And I like dark and twisty kind of books. So I love that book. But I wanted to go back to Gillian Flynn's first effort, which is a book called Sharp Objects.
Okay.
So if you read Gone Girl and loved it, I encourage you to go back and read her first and her second novel. Gone Girl was her third novel. But I really actually enjoyed her first two books, I think, a little bit more, mostly because everybody was talking about Gone Girl.
Right,
and when everybody's talking about the book,
how good is it?
Yeah,
and then it's like you discover a treasure in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
So Sharp Objects is about, it's a strong female character. Character with a sort of dark and twisty side, which I like. She's a reporter at a small town paper, so there's a journalism angle if you like that.
Right.
And she is sent back to her hometown. She's in Chicago, and she's sent back to her hometown to investigate and write about the murder of a young girl and the disappearance of another young girl.
Okay.
And she goes back to investigate that. She has some personal ties to it. Her own personal darkness kind of bubbles up. And then she, the best part about it is she gets to reconnect with her terribly dysfunctional family, including her mother and her weird stepsister. And there's a weird vibe going there. And then she meets the cop who's investigating it. Maybe there's some love angle there. Uh-huh. It's very good. Very dark and twisty, but also really great characters. And for a first novel, it's awesome.
It seems like a lot of genres in one as well. You get the family drama, you get the thriller, you get the
police story, all of it. Yes.
That's really cool. Okay, so that's your first effort. I've got three. You said you had 12.
Oh, I've got more,
so.
But you go ahead.
All right, well, I came up with the first two that I'm going to say are just obvious to me, but they're also a little bit obvious, period. So I had to mine my history for the third one, and I'll save that for later. But my first one is one that was also celebrated in Banned Books Week, which is Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman.
Nicely
great
done.
First effort. And Walt Whitman, I always say, is the he writes Leaves of Grass in 1855, and it's this very small, compact series of 12 poems. And then rather than move on to another project, he just keeps going back and revising and changing and putting out new and bigger editions. And scholars generally who read it say that it kind of gets worse and worse and worse as it gets bigger and more bloated, and they go back to the 1855 version. The original is really good, which is why I say that Walt Whitman is the George Lucas of the 19th century, insofar as he kind of does the same thing. But that original set of poems in 1855, Leaves of Grass, was revolutionary, and he invents free verse. He invents American poetry, and it's so amazingly modern and revolutionary and salacious even for our time and certainly for his. And I fell in love with it when I read it the first time. So I have to go with that one.
Nicely done. Yeah, I am with like a thriller bestseller and you go with Walt Whitman.
Well, this is
why,
I'm saying like I'll mine the classics first and then we'll get to something a little bit more obscure. But that's my first effort.
Okay. Do we have to break? Are we going to keep going?
No, we're
going to
keep going.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
All right, yeah.
So another book that everybody's talking about right now, which is also a movie, is The Fault in Our Stars by John Green.
Yep.
I'm not usually terribly concerned about book to movie, but that one, I love that book. And once I saw the casting, I was like, I'm sorry. None of them look right, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think I can see that movie.
Uh-huh.
But I would encourage folks, if you like that movie, and generally, John Green fans have read everything by him 18 times.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you just discovered John Green through The Fault in Our Stars, I encourage you to read his first effort, which is Looking for Alaska, which is a really great novel. I love I like dark and twisty female characters, and I like quirky, nerdy male characters. And the main character in that is a teenager who decides to take off. It's either his junior or his senior year and go to boarding school. He's from Florida, and he goes to boarding school in Alabama. And his thing... Actually, I could kind of see you doing this, Aaron. His thing is he's obsessed with reading biographies and obsessed with people's last words. So he's like catalogs people's dying words. Yeah. And so he goes there and he meets a cast of
usually everyone's
characters.
Dying word is, hey, watch this. I think it's the most common.
That's no one's last time. Well, maybe it is.
That's
I don't know.
A couple people's, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he goes to boarding school and meets some other quirky characters, and it's sweet and tragic and sad and funny, like much of John Green's stuff.
In the same way that The Fault in Our Stars is,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And there's such a revival of, or I don't even know if it's a revival or a vival of... Of young adult literature, just in the last 10 or 15 years. John Green, who wrote Every Day? Davidian, what's his name? Do you know? He just wrote
that guy.
Yeah, that guy, right? He and John Green just wrote a book together. David Levithan, that's his name.
Yes.
Also really,
actually,
really good.
Yeah, I'm going to go off script here.
Okay, go for it.
Lauren Oliver, who's a YA author.
Yes, yep.
I just cracked this one, actually. Her first effort at an adult novel is called Rooms, and it's just out. I also love gothic ghost stories and English country houses that are haunted.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. And so her first adult novel is just out. There's probably a waiting list for it, but it's very, very good.
Awesome. So, okay. So that was your first effort about a book that you loved and can't imagine the movie for.
Yes.
So my book that I love, and there is a movie, it's acclaimed, it's won awards.
Xanadu?
No, not quite. Sorry. Not quite.
I'm sorry.
Can't stop the music. No. It's even worse. But I can't see myself ever watching. I will never watch this movie, even though it's supposed to be really good. But the book is amazing. It's easily my favorite novel ever, and it's Catch-22.
Oh.
Joseph Heller. Who
that
was a
movie?
That was it. It came out in 1970 or 71. Who was in it? Donald Sutherland, I think, was in it.
Wow.
And maybe I might be confusing it with MASH now, but it's like a really cool cast. And Mike Nichols directed it, and he had just come off The Graduate, and I love The Graduate, but I don't. Art Garfunkel, I think, is in it.
You just blew my mind.
He turns out to be a good actor,
wow.
But I can't see him in this movie. I think he plays Nately, if I remember right.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter because I will never see this movie.
And we're not talking about the movie.
We're talking about the book. And Catch-22 is it's this perfect combination of cynicism and hope. And
well said.
Thank you.
You're deep, Aaron Keck.
Well, I just read Gravity's Rainbow. Or let's go back. I just tried to read Gravity's Rainbow. Which
you've done more than me.
Doesn't quite reach that perfect balance, in my opinion. And trying to read that, it's like, oh, this is trying to be Catch-22, and it just made me appreciate Catch-22 all the more for just sort of skirting that line so perfectly.
Right.
I like Vonnegut too for the same reason, but he never wrote anything that quite reaches that level.
So I actually, because I'm a nerdy librarian and I do my homework and research, I found a list of the 50 of the most impressive debut novels of
Ooh,
all time.
Nice.
Catch-22 was on
more
there.
Research, yeah.
I know. It's called Google.
Okay.
And then
okay,
hit print.
All right. Catch-22, Catcher in the Rye, probably.
Yeah. But then I want to check in something. When we talked at the summer reading kickoff. At the summer reading kickoff.
Grilling up learning for you here at Chapel Hill Public Library.
There's a book burning joke in there somewhere. Grilling
probably,
up some books.
Yeah.
I think you asked me to guess what book you were reading or guess your all-time favorite book.
Yeah.
And it took me three guesses. Exactly.
Yep.
And I got to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Which is also
one,
a first
right?
book.
Yep.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a first book. Somebody
yeah.
just one day sits down and writes that book for the first time.
Yeah.
To Kill a Mockingbird, of course, is
right,
the first
right.
and really
on
only
the road,
book.
Got to be on there.
Oh, I don't know if that one's on
Ooh,
here.
Really?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That,
right.
That
yep.
was a first book. Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland?
You're going way back.
I don't even know.
The Hobbit.
Oh, The Hobbit.
First book.
Okay, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's kind of a fun list.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. So, okay, so we've got our two. What is your third?
This is actually my fourth because I threw one in there. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Here's one. People ask me all the time, like, what is your all-time favorite book? And that's a really difficult question. But one of them, probably top three,
okay,
is also a first book. It actually might be my favorite book of all time.
Okay, we'll just go with that.
I don't know.
Until
next time. It is The Secret History by Donna Tartt. So
I
you're going to learn.
One.
Oh, it's fabulous. Her book, she just came out with The Goldfinch, which is her third book. She takes like 10 years to write really long books, but they're great. You'll also learn in this episode of our show, which doesn't have a name or segment, that I also love books that are set on college campuses.
Okay.
So this is a book about a young guy from a small town who gets into it's sort of an Ivy League-esque private college, and he goes and he falls in with all these rich kids and this sort of Svengali-like classics professor, and there's all of this weird stuff, and he's kind of a fish out of water, and he goes along, and then there's a murder, and there's the classics, and there's Bacchanalian fests.
I'm starting to get a really good sense of your taste in literature.
But it is a first novel, and it is fabulous. So if you read The Goldfinch this year, which was nominated for big awards and was on the bestseller list, go back and read her first novel. It's not really that much like it. It's not very similar, but it's a first novel that
good, right?
is amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
Awesome. All right, so this is my obscure one. It's a young adult novel. It is by a Canadian author named Gordon Corman. And it is called This Can't Be Happening at McDonald Hall. Also a boarding school novel.
Boarding school, I'm there.
Yep. It's about two roommates, Bruno and Boots, if I remember right. They're both sort of mischievous kids. They get in trouble and they sort of reinforce each other's getting into troubleness. So the headmaster separates them and they spend the entire rest of the novel scheming to try to get back into the same room with each other. Which it's light, it's funny, it's the beginning of a series. There's a whole bunch of novels written about like these two kids and their classmates and the school. It's a male boarding school and there's a girls boarding school across the street, so they get into adventures with each other. And the fascinating thing about this one was that Gordon Corman wrote the first one, This Can't Be Happening with Donald Hall, as a seventh grade project. He was 12 years old.
Wow!
He wrote it. He sent it off to a publisher. They loved it. They published it, and he is now I think 50 years old. He's been a novelist all his life, and he's got this amazing collection of. He was one of my favorite novelists growing up.
I gotta check that out. So I'm sure I know that all of the ones that we mentioned before, Chapel Hill Public Library owns. Mm-hmm. I gotta check on that one because I want to read it. Yeah. But we have a pretty great young adult collection.
Yeah,
that sounds fabulous.
I think Gordon Corman may have been more popular like in the 80s, 90s when I was growing up. Maybe more so than today. I don't even know.
Okay.
But he was big in Michigan. It's right across the river from Canada, so they might have had the geographical advantage there too. But it's worth checking out. It's really fun.
I've never heard of that. That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, so those are my three. I'm gonna give you the last word. What is your fifth? First effort.
Oh my gosh.
Since
so the first effort I brought was, this one's on my list, but it's got a North Carolina collection. It's a new book out, and our collection development person's going to kill me because she's like, there's already a wait list for this, and now you're telling more people about them. This is a book called The Story of Land and Sea by an author named Katie Simpson Smith. She did her PhD at UNC Chapel Hill. And it's historical fiction, which I also love, and it's set on a coastal town, revolutionary or pre-revolutionary mm-hmm. era, a coastal town of North Carolina. It's a widower and his daughter, and she gets ill, and the father decides to take her out to sea to cure her, and then, of course, terrible things happen.
Awesome.
It's getting really great press, and I want to know more about the author and her other connections.
What's the name of
UNC.
It again?
It's called The Story of Land and Sea.
Okay.
She did she studied here, and then she went on to do her MFA at Bennington.
I will have to check that out later when the waitlist dies down. I'll do you that favor, but that's awesome. So those are our first efforts.
That
was fun.
This was totally fun.
Yeah, and hopefully people will go out and read some of those eight books that we talked about. So get on that, everyone. You got a week to read eight books, and then we'll be back with another list of eight books next week.
And actually, pretty soon we're launching an awesome new catalog interface, and when we do that, we can actually put up these lists of all the books that we talk about on the catalog.
Yeah, let's
not
do
yet.
That. Okay, but soon. Awesome.
Ish.
All right, Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, thank you so much, and we will see you next week with another category that we haven't come up with yet.
That's great. Thank you.
All right.